today on Mother Mayhem.
I think you're struggling with owning the no contact decision because your mom said it first. You held up a mirror of accountability for her to look at. She couldn't tolerate the view, so she cut you off. Welcome back to Mother Mayhem, the narcissistic recovery podcast for daughters. I'm your host, Heather Gray, and I am so glad to be with all of you here today. Today, we're talking about the grief and loss that can come when you decide to go no contact. You've heard me say this before. I think I just said it 2 weeks ago on the show. But I really hate the way going no contact is conceptualized in the self-help conversations that we see in the self-help books and online. Everyone makes it seem like people who go no contact are just walking away like Angela Bassett and waiting to exhale with fire blowing up behind her as she leaves everything behind her in dust and ashes. And I sit with people who go no contact. And I've sat with my husband when he decided to go no contact with his mother. And this is what I can tell you. Do some people walk away, middle fingers in the air with their heads held high? Yes, some people do exit their toxic relationships that way. More often than not, though, someone who's going no contact is on their knees. They're wrecked by it. Devastated in the choice between having to choose themselves and their mothers or having to choose between themselves and their entire family. Narcissists put people in terrible, terrible positions, and people leaving are usually leaving scared and shaking. They're just leaving anyway. People who don't understand also tend to think of the problem being solved once someone decides to go no contact. You're not talking to your mother anymore, so problem solved, right? Whew, not so much. There are fathers attached to this choice, siblings, grandchildren, mutual friends. Few people can just walk away without a dangling thread attached, and those dangling threads are all connected to heart strings. Things get tangled, they feel messy, and it's really easy to lose your way. I want to introduce you to Skeeter. Think fast. Who recognizes that name? From The Help. Now, I confess, I've actually only seen the movie. It's one of my absolute favorites. Sometimes people worry about the movie ruining the book, but when it comes to me, I've never wanted the book to ruin the movie. Don't be surprised, by the way, if more characters from The Help show up in other episodes of our little show here, because I so adore it. Skeeter was a truth teller. She helped people tell the truth, even when they were scared, even when the consequence could be harsh. That's what our listener letter from Skeeter does here today, too. So here's Skeeter, and I'll find you on the other side. Dear Heather, thanks so much for doing this podcast. I fortunately found it the first week it dropped and have been listening ever since. My gosh, that's so amazing. I remember I was like, is anybody going to listen to this? I'm not even marketing it. How is anyone even going to find it? At age 53, I'm probably one of your older listeners, but your information is so valuable. And you are by no means one of my older listeners. You're actually one of my most common age demographics. Anyway, I digress, Skeeter. Until a few years ago, I didn't know my mom was a narcissist. I just knew my mom fought with everyone except her parents. She was always the victim, and I would do anything to please her and fix her troubles. On the outside, our family looked very normal. My parents had been married for 56 years. Mom became a nurse when I was 8. Dad was always a high school teacher. I also have a brother who's 3 years younger. My mom was hypercritical about so many things. She thought I was too fat At age 8 to wear a two-piece swimsuit. I was normal size. My eyebrows were too thick in the 8th grade. She thought class rings were so expensive to purchase in high school, so she pushed to melt hers down to make mine. And of course that never happened. I wanted to become a teacher, and she kept sending me to guidance counselors to convince me otherwise. I became a teacher anyway. Yes, you did, sister. Yes, you did. She would always get after me for not dating in high school and wanted me to set up an apple stand on the street corner so the track boys would notice me as they went by. Love it. I love it. Sorry. Sometimes the shit is funny, friends. We have to laugh. After college, I started dating a man, and I told my mom about our first date. Her response was, "Don't worry, I will be here to catch you when you fall." I married that man, and we just celebrated our 28th anniversary. Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Oh my gosh, I adore you. I adore you. I adore this letter. I'm so sorry you're hurting, but man, you write very well. My husband and I now have 3 adult children. As you can imagine, my mom was always critical of how I raised the kids. About 7 years ago, my then teenage son had severe depression, anxiety, and had to be hospitalized a few times. It was a very difficult time in my life, and I was doing the best I could to keep my head above water along with my family. My mom just didn't get it, and voiced how ungrateful I was to have her as a mother, that I couldn't call her every day and see how she was doing. My dad would call to ask if I could in any way do more for mom, when I would explain that mom believes the world revolves around her and I just can't do it. Dad would say, "That's just how she is. You're too sensitive and you need to get over it." I tried. I mean, I really tried. I started to realize maybe she was a narcissist, and of course I Googled how to get along with a narcissist. You, my friend, are not the only one who has done that. There are so many listeners to this show who have that thought and then immediately go into that people-pleasing mode of, how do I do this? How do I fix this? How do I make this better? How do I get along with the person who's never going to let me get along with them? I started to go low contact and keep my conversations to a minimum, but she didn't like that and suggested we stop all contact, which I agreed. Then I got a Christmas card in November asking to reconnect so we could have Christmas. I call and she fell and broke her back, because of course she did. So I started calling several days a week to make sure she was recovering. After 3 weeks, she asked, "How much longer are we doing this? Can we just have a relationship?" I said, "The only thing I need is for you to respect me, to not call me names and not question my decisions or be critical of my life." She wanted 3 days to think about it. Early morning on day 2, I get an email saying, "I can't believe I've done something so terrible to you that I deserve to be shunned, stepped on, and destroyed. Ex-mom." I called my dad the next day and asked what happened. He said he read and agreed with the email. When I offered to have a relationship with just him, he said he had been married to her for 50 years, and he will always side with her. I'm with you, Skeeter. I'm with you. This was December 2018, and I have not talked to my mom since. She has tried, though, sending me cards and emails and trying to get me back. I knew this was my red line. I became orphaned that day and started the very difficult grieving process. My brother also went no contact with me. My aunt died of COVID in 2021, and it was quite the scandal that I didn't go to the funeral. I did meet some of my relatives before and after, though. Then, last year, my dad got cancer. I found out he wanted to talk to me, so I called him, set my boundaries about mom, and he told me. He wanted to know if I wanted to be updated on his treatment, and I said yes, of course, whatever he wanted to share. It's been over a year, and I haven't heard from him since. My adult children are in contact with them, and I know he did well with chemo and radiation, and is now just living with it. My question, I guess, is how do I forgive myself for not being there? I love my dad dearly, and I wanted to be there for him, to help him through this, but I can't. I was so looking forward to helping my parents as they got older, taking them shopping or out to lunch, but it's all just impossible. I don't regret my decision to stay no contact, and I really try hard to see the ex-mom email as a gift. I'm not sure I would have ever had the courage to go completely no contact without that push. Thanks again for your insightful podcast. Ooh, skater, skater, skater. Okay, here we go, right? We here at Mother Mayhem, we are with you. We are with you. And we believe you. We know you did the absolute very, very best you could. But can you do me a favor here? Can we maybe sit together for a second in this moment? And would it be okay with you if maybe we question your question? Because I want you to think about this. You asked, how do I forgive myself for not being there? I love my dad dearly, and I wanted to be there for him to help him through this, but I can't. Skater, my friend, that isn't how that went down. Your dad asked if you wanted to know how he was. You said yes, and then he never kept in touch. You offered to be there in spirit, in a way that was consistent with both your boundaries and the line your mother drew in the sand. He's the one who bailed, Skeeter. He bailed again. He bailed on you over and over again. You are asking about forgiving yourself. That implies that you have somehow gone left or right of the center of what you think is the right thing to do here. Your moral compass is based on what you think is right when people follow the rules. Your dad didn't protect you. He didn't have your back. He didn't choose you. A moral compass in the face of rejection has to, by design, work differently. Otherwise, it just leads you into danger. Think about it for a second. The idea that you would stay in closer proximity with your dad because of cancer implies some sort of thinking like, it's okay for my parents to abandon me so long as they have a really good reason. But that isn't your truth or what happened. So your moral compass actually did its job. It led you away from danger. I would encourage you to change the word forgive to accept. How do I accept that this is all true about my family? How do I accept that while I pride myself on being someone who shows up, I couldn't show up this time because showing up meant subjecting myself to hurtful, harmful behavior in an environment where I was told I wasn't wanted? I think that is the quest you have. And I think you start by telling your truth, reminding yourself of your truth, and owning your truth. Skater, here's something I want you to think about. I think you're struggling with owning the no contact decision because your mom said it first. You held up a mirror of accountability for her to look at. She couldn't tolerate the view, so she cut you off. That is a cruel thing that narcissists do in the face of accountability. They cut you off before you can cut them off. They choose not to try. They question you for even suggesting that they are in any way inappropriate. You call out their behavior, and they make you the problem. Can we sit together for just a bit longer here and maybe chase this tale a little bit more? Because what you also shared here is that you were setting the boundary with your mom. You have to be respectful, Mom. Otherwise, I can't be in relationship with you. She has shown us who she is over and over. She wasn't going to be able to do it. She'd have walked right over that boundary immediately if she hadn't first cut you off, and she would have forced you to end it. Now, your story here might be that you wouldn't have ended it, that she would have been mean and awful, and you would have found some reason to excuse it. Maybe so, Skeeter. Maybe so. Cutting someone off is really hard work, and maybe you wouldn't have been successful at it your first time at bat, but you were already willing and prepared to let her go. You were already conscious of the fact that you were choosing you. You heard me say in an earlier episode that my work with you and all of everybody listening, the ladies listening, all of this in the coming year, I'm going to be working with you to help you stop abandoning yourselves. And that's what you were doing in these first steps with her. You were working to not abandon yourself. Did your mother maybe do you a favor? Honestly, she did. I'm sorry if that's hard to hear, but your mom showed you in her actions that she was incapable of meeting your needs. As a result, you were exposed to less abuse, less cruelty. It's clear to me that this is how it was going to go. Cutting you off was easier than you cutting her off. So yes, she did, Skeeter, do you a favor. But I really need you to hear me on this. After that moment, every moment after, that's all you. You allowed her words to stick the landing. You continued to know your worth and stand by it. You showed her what you were worth. She showed you who she was, and you believed her. She covered that one moment for you, so we can give that to her. But you have covered every moment after, and I am so proud of you and impressed by you for being able to do that. You're probably expecting me to wrap up this little chat now. After all, I answered your question, and can't we all just move on? As I'm sure this is super uncomfortable too, I hope you're willing to sit with me a little longer, because I have a little bit more insight as to why recovery for you has been so hard. I think I can help. So first, Skeeter, I think you're also one of our golden girls, right? Remember our golden girls episode from episode 15? That one was enabling father. The grief and loss that I processed with those golden girls, that is also your grief to process. Their loss is also your loss. If you haven't listened to episode 15 yet, I hope you'll offer yourself the time and the space to do that, because you deserve to have that loss recognized, validated, and processed. Your dad was an enabling father. Your dad didn't choose you. You were indeed orphaned in that fateful time in 2018. But honestly, Skeeter, they both left you way earlier than that. And this is really painful for me to say, so I can only imagine how painful it is to hear. But you were holding yourself responsible for taking care of someone who failed repeatedly to take care of you. He left you first, Skeeter. He left you first. And you deserved so very much more than any of that. And my heart just hurts for all that you deserved but didn't get. What a kind soul you are to have been daydreaming of taking care of your aging parents while they weren't taking care of you. They aren't worthy of that care and concern. They don't just get to have your love because you were born into that family. Your love still gets to be earned. And from where I sit, they failed to show up. So Skeeter, you have to mourn this. And that's where acceptance shows up again. Accepting that you wanted more, wished for more, and deserved more, but didn't get it. This is part of the trauma you experienced. And I don't say this to hurt you or cause you harm, but unprocessed trauma often makes it so trauma brain sticks around. Then trauma brain starts kicking inside your head, and that's where thoughts that have you questioning your worth come from. Trauma brain makes you second guess your own mind, makes you lose faith in your decision making. I call this out not to hurt you, but to encourage you to tend to the parts that may have not yet fully healed. Ooh, okay, Skeeter, I'm taking another deep breath, and I hope you're going to do that with me. In fact, everybody listening, if you could just take a moment with me and take another big breath and sit with Skeeter and hold her, because we tell the truth on this show. We say the hard things. Gosh, I've gone round and round this conversation with you in my head, Skeeter, so I'm just going to spit it out. I have to tell you, the hardest part of your letter for me to read wasn't actually your mom cutting you off. She's a narcissist. She did a narcissistic thing. Maybe that's this like workplace hazard on my part, but that doesn't actually ruffle very many of my feathers. Of course, I'm sad for you that it's your story and you were affected. And I also have to be honest and say that your dad really let me down for you too. But he did what enabling dads do. He enabled. He chose your mom just as he always has before. What hurts me here, I'm taking a moment, is your own family. Your mother cut you off. Your father cut you off. Your brother cut you off. And somehow your kids are still in contact with them. Skeeter, this is the part of your story that really hurts and really stings. And I'm not even sure you're allowing yourself to really feel it. You can hear my hesitancy in pointing it out. And I'm nervous, honestly. I'm shaking. You can probably even hear it in my breath. But I've gone over this in my head, asking myself if this was my place to say this, if this was the right thing to do, the responsible thing to do. And all I can say is you and I have emailed a couple of times by now, and I know that you have come to trust me. And I really, really hope that I am not abusing that trust by pointing out this very, very hard thing. But you were wondering why you're second-guessing yourself and why you're nagged with guilt and responsibility. And I have a feeling that the reason lies a little closer to home. When your family chooses to stay in relationship with people who are not in contact with you, they are implying that your family's choice is not entirely unacceptable. And nothing sets off trauma brain like that. I have no idea why your kids maintain that relationship, but please allow me to reflect on how hurtful that is, even if you're not feeling particularly hurt by it. If it were me, I would be second guessing everything about my story. I know a lot of daughters in your position, Skeeter. They don't want to be like their moms. They don't want to give their families these ultimatums or feel like they're making their family members choose between them and their grandmothers, so they don't say anything. They don't tell their kids the facts. Notice my wording here. I was deliberate. I didn't say that mothers in your position don't tell their kids their side of the story. I said mothers in your position often don't tell their kids the facts. I hope your kids know the facts of your family. I hope that they know that they are choosing contact with people who didn't choose you. to a grandmother who would rather lose you than be nice to you, and to a grandfather who acquiesced to all of that. I know that isn't an easy truth, and I know many people in your position want to gloss over it and not make things uncomfortable for the kids or other people, but I also think adult kids deserve to know what they are consciously choosing and what that choice reflects so that they can be sure it's still their choice. I say all of this with so much care, concern, and respect. I also say this knowing that I am assuming a hell of a lot, and I know what happens when I can assume. I can make an ass out of me. Yet, when I sit with women with grown families of their own who still question their worth, doubt their decisions, and struggle with healing, so many of them have this thing in common. Even with this gigantic disruption and divide in the family, they're still keeping the peace. They're minimizing their truth and their experience for the comfort of others and to protect the kids. I have no way of knowing if this is you, Skeeter, but on the off chance that it is, or that this is the story of anyone listening, you all have to know your truth matters. What happened to you is important, and you get to share your side of the story too. I very much doubt your parents have kept their mouths shut, and I would likely bet that at one time or another, there's been a subtle or not so subtle smear campaign going against you with your own kids. When we dull our truth for the comfort of others, we often end up dulling our truth with ourselves. That's why I'm pointing this out. Because without realizing it, you are implying for yourself that what happened wasn't so bad. But within you, it still feels really bad and intensely emotional. Women in your position will then internalize that discrepancy as their fault. They start to ask themselves, why can't I just get over it? Why does this hurt me so much? Everyone else has moved on. Why can't I? Those questions imply something is wrong with them. That's what I'm trying to interrupt here, Skeeter. I want to disrupt any implication that there is something wrong with you or your emotional response to this. What has happened to you is not normal, and you are having a totally normal response to all of this. I really want you to know that and hear me on that. I want all of you to hear me on that. This is what I'm going to be bringing you back to each and every time. What are the decisions you need to make that will allow you to stop abandoning yourselves? Sometimes that decision is going to be telling the facts of your story. Thank you for trusting me, Skeeter. I sure hope I haven't blown it here. I hope you know and that you feel my good intentions for you. I hope you know that your truth matters and that I believe you and that everyone here at Mother Mayhem believes you too. You are in a community of women around the world who are in this with you, 26 countries and counting. I am too. Bye for now. I'm so grateful that you're here. You're right where you're supposed to be. At its heart, I'm hoping to use this show to build a community of women working together to heal from childhoods marked by maternal narcissism and emotional neglect. My goal for Mother Mayhem is that this show becomes an advice and mentoring-driven show where you share your questions, struggles, and stories, and I offer you direction for healing and recovery. That can't happen without your contributions. I invite you to send a recorded voice memo or write in an email with your questions and things you're struggling with. You can always find me over at heather@daughtersnpd.com. To connect further, I invite you to find me over at Instagram and occasionally on TikTok at daughtersnpd. If you know another woman who needs this conversation in her life, I'm going to ask that you share the show with her. You can help me get the word out with your reviews and social shares of the show, and I hope you'll consider doing so. Special thanks to Heather Clark for editing this show. She's in my head and knows what I meant to say when the words come out backwards. Thanks for your time today. I'm always in it with you. Bye for now.